It's great to be here tonight, especially to have the young people here with us as well. Over the past few weeks, we've been exploring the question, who are we? Who are we as individuals, as an evening congregation, and as a church? In the clip that we just watched, we saw a father teaching his son who he is. We see through the metaphor of stones, the father teaching his son about his worth and his value, teaching him that in life the things that matter are where you decide to place yourself, the people you surround yourself with, and how you choose to carry yourself. For us, as we come to answer the question, who are we? I think that these things also matter. Most of us have made the decision to place ourselves here at Roseville Uniting Church. Currently, we are deciding if we will surround ourselves with each other on a Sunday afternoon as we work towards bringing our worship at 5 and our 6:30 worship communities together. And as we do this, we are faced with the question of how will we choose to carry ourselves? How will we choose to live with, to interact with, and to respond to each other in a way that ensures we treat each other as the precious and valuable stones that we are in Christ? The truth is, how we choose to carry ourselves really does matter. How we choose to live as Christians in Christian community matters. It matters in relation to the particular community that is trying to grow, in our case here at Roseville Uniting, but it also matters. It also matters on a much larger scale, which is what I believe Ephesians chapter 4, the passage that we're going to look at tonight, well, the first part, talks about. In chapter 4, we see Paul, well, at least we think Paul is the author or alternatively a follower of Paul, urging Christians to live a life worthy of the calling they have received. In the New Revised Standard Version, that word urge is replaced with beg. And in the New King James, it's beseech, which means to encourage. In other words, Paul is trying to place specific emphasis on the way that Christians live, because he too believes that the way we choose to carry ourselves in Christian community matters. It matters for the church in Ephesus and for those surrounding it, which perhaps is the original intention for this letter. Not that it was just for the Ephesians, but for all Christians and all of the New Testament church communities. And it also matters for the church today. It also matters for us. And the reason it matters is because God has a plan. God has always had a plan, and it turns out that the church is an essential part of it. As Chris told us last week, chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians are often kind of grouped together as like the first half of the book, with the following chapters 4 to 6 being grouped together to make this second half. And in the first half, we see that God has an eternal plan, a plan that is described as a divine mystery. The word mystery, if you read the whole book through, actually appears 6 times. It's not a mystery in the way that we think of mysteries as a puzzle that needs to be figured out and solved, but rather it refers to something hidden that cannot possibly be figured out, but can only be known only if revealed by someone possessing inside information. A divine mystery, if you will, which can only be revealed by God. And in this case, God has commissioned Paul and other holy apostles and prophets to disclose the mystery to the church. And in turn, God has chosen the church to reveal this mystery to the world and to the cosmic powers of the universe. So what is this mystery? What is this divine plan? The mystery is God's plan to unite all things in Christ. In particular, God's plan to unite all people in Christ, including those who traditionally have been identified as Jews or Gentiles. And as we see in the text, they are now identified as a new humanity. We also see in the text that this plan is to be accomplished in at least two parts, through crucifixion and exaltation. First, the death of Jesus on the cross, which results in the forgiveness of sins, so that all people are now on equal footing before God, meaning that there is no longer any divine preference for Israel, because Jesus has, in effect, broken down that dividing wall that separated the Jews and the Gentiles, abolishing the law that set the Jews apart. That's the first stage. And the second is to unify all reality in Christ, which came through the exaltation of Christ, with his resurrection and his position in heaven and authority over the powers and the principalities of this world. And it is because of this plan that Paul urges, begs, encourages the Ephesians to live lives worthy of the calling they have received. To not only know that they are precious stones, people called out and set apart, but also to take action, to live lives worthy of who they are. And according to Ephesians, there are two signs that this plan of God is being revealed. The first is the sign of the Holy Spirit. We see this right at the beginning in chapter 1. It says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity and with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." The work of the Holy Spirit is a tangible sign that God's plan is working out, that it is coming into fruition. And the second, which is where the church part comes into it, is the unity of the church, especially the unity of the Jews and the Gentiles within it. According to Paul, it's the peace and lack of hostility that the church exhibits that serves as a revelation, even to the cosmic powers of the universe, that God's mysterious plan has taken into effect. And so this is what it says in chapter 4. Paul says, "As a prisoner from the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." The way we carry ourselves, the way we interact with each other in the church and as the church matters. It matters because God has a plan to unite all things in Christ, and this plan is to be carried out by us. And it is seen as a revelation to others. Lives that we live where we are humble and gentle. Lives of patience and bearing with one another in love. Lives where we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Lives where we are seen as one. There are seven ones listed there in that passage. And they form the basis of the church's oneness in spirit. They're like the core of the community. And when that community lacks unity, it calls into question the church's proclamation of the oneness of God. And it also directly opposes God's divine plan. So let me ask you, how do you think that we are doing? For us, it's week 2. The challenge is, how are we going to be in week 3, week 4, week 34? I guarantee you it won't take long for us to get annoyed with each other. Just ask some of the siblings in the room that share a house. By the way, I don't know, annoyed by the way that one of us constantly touches their hair while they're on stage, or for us to not like the key that a song is sung in, or to experience frustration for how long the preacher talks for. I'll finish soon, I promise. And those things are just from my experience that I've had told to me constructively, no doubt. As we get to know each other more, we will find that we are drawn more to others. We will find that some people are harder to get along with. There will be some who we don't agree with theologically, people who have different ideas and ways of doing things, and this is just at 5:30. The same applies for our congregation as a whole, for our presbytery, for our synod, for the whole uniting church and beyond. So how are we doing? Last week, I attended a post-assembly presbytery meeting. And to be honest, we weren't really doing that well. The room was clearly divided over the assembly's recent decision on same-sex marriage. And we fell short. We fell short of bearing with one another in love, and I think that was on both sides. And this is just one example within the uniting church. And sadly, across the church, God's holy church, there are many more examples. And the thing is, every time we lack humility and gentleness, when we lack patience, and when we fail to love one another, we cause disunity and we hinder God's plan. When we break community, I honestly believe that it breaks God's heart. He paid such a high price for us. Such a high price for those precious stones. And the only thing that he asks of us is to love him and to love one another. And I get that we won't always agree on everything. I get that. But I believe that despite this, we are called to live in unity. We are called to live a life worthy of our calling. And so tonight, I stand here alongside Paul, and I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And I encourage you to choose to carry yourself in love. And I beg you, as far as it depends on you, to strive to live in unity with one another, because the way in which we live matters. Because we, the church, are part of God's divine plan to unite all things under Christ. I'll ask the band to come up. And I want to finish by reading just this part of Ephesians chapter 4 again. There's a whole other part of that chapter. So I encourage you to go and read it. It talks about our gifts and how we are to be equipping people for ministry and about being mature. But I just want to read this first part again, and I want to read it from the Message version, just a different kind of take on it. And then we're going to stand and we're going to sing and we're going to finish within an hour. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 4. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. Let's stand and sing.